back, folks. Third hour is on here, War Room Live, alexjoneslive.com, the Alex Jones Network. Follow me on X. I'm at Harrison H. Smith. Support us, of course, by going to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. Right now, it's the biggest sale of 2026 to celebrate America's 250th anniversary, July 3rd through 5th. Massive discounts on thealexjonesstore.com, including buy one, get one free offers on the methylene blue tincture and the bovine colostrum plus and the Shilajit complex capsules. Buy one, get a second one absolutely free on some of our best-selling supplements, as well as 60% off supplements, up to 60% off all supplements, 50% off apparel, and we have the newly offered America 250 silver round. It's one troy ounce, 0.999 fine silver commemorative round. It is a collector's item, but if you're a VIP, you pay less than $100 for one of these incredibly beautiful, artistic, and frankly gorgeous silver rounds. Now I want to go to a video of Caleb Hammer, who runs a financial show. But he's talking to a socialist and trying to walk her through how stupid her own ideology is. Let's watch.
Mm-hmm. They have barbed wire and awful living conditions and maggots in the food and abusing the people in there. No due process. That's a concentration camp.
Okay.
And so people are rightfully outraged and are out there to demoralize the people who are going into those.
I asked her what her job was, by the way.
I said finance, and you asked if I was a bad capitalist.
I'm a socialist. Concentration camps. You're a socialist?
Yes.
Okay, you know socialism has never worked. What socialism are you in favor for? Here we go. Get ready.
I believe that...
Take a system.
A system?
Take a system in the world that you're in favor of.
Well...
That you would rather be our system.
I just don't want it to be capitalism. Nor do I want it to be...
Take a system that has worked that you like and would like to replicate here.
Capitalism.
Take a system, please. That has been proven to work in any country, anywhere. That is better than our system, please.
Capitalism.
Yeah, please find.
Does not.
Okay, that's great. Yes, you have your talking points. That's wonderful. Now pick a system that has worked anywhere better than here that you would rather have.
Well, that
I'm waiting for it.
Your definition of better is like not valuing the intrinsic value.
I don't give a fuck about my definition. Your definition. I'm asking you to choose. Don't cater to my definition.
And I'm choosing socialism.
No. Yeah, but pick it. Pick another country that has worked.
And unfortunately. We are an imperialist.
We've never tried real socialism, I bet you.
Imperialism is hurting those socialist countries.
It hurt the USSR?
It's hurting
Cuba imperialists?
And Venezuela. Yeah, the blockades that we're doing for
what it's worth, oil production dramatically fell after the state took control of Venezuela, and it hurt their economy dramatically well before our embargo. You might be right about Cuba, but no, Venezuela did it themselves before we embargoed. Timeline-wise, so you're just wrong. They had a slush fund coming in when it was collecting taxes from the private enterprise.
What I'm not wrong about is the fact that
right. So what system,
capitalism
please? Okay, I just asked what her job was. Here we go. Please, pick a system. One place that according to your values you would rather do.
New York.
That's not socialist. That's the most capitalist place in the world.
But Mamdani is out there doing
He's democratic socialist.
Yeah.
Socialist.
Yeah.
He still believes in capitalism. You know that, right?
Start somewhere.
No. That is still capitalist. All his policies are funded on the tax revenue generated by capitalism. That's capitalism. That is not
taxes.
Workers-based socialism. Taxes come from the capitalist state still. So no, that is not socialist. But if that's what you'd like to see, then don't call yourself a socialist, because that's not socialist. That's still capitalism. That's more Scandinavian. That's European, which is still funded on capitalist systems. I was hoping you were going to say something like Sweden or the UK. I was hoping you were going to say something like that, which are still objectively capitalist countries.
Mm-hmm.
Not socialist by any means of the imagination. They have some more social programs, all funded by the success of capitalism, all funded by the marketplace and the wages created by capitalism.
Do more social programs. How many social programs do you have to do before it's socialist?
You're talking about social programs. Socialist is a completely different economic structure, though.
Right, where the worker has their relationship to the means of production.
State run, but yes. State run. That wouldn't really create much. You know what happened in the USSR? With all the land, most arable land almost in the world compared besides the United States and I think Ukraine. Well, they had to import all their wheat. Vast majority of their wheat. It doesn't work. It doesn't create the outcome. People need to eat, and
people
it doesn't work.
Eat.
You know what's actually more important?
Are we feeding people under capitalism?
Yes. Have you seen our poor people? They're fat. Yes. The poor people in the United States have to take Ozempic.
Okay, but is it because the cost of chips is more than minimum wage?
Chips? You think that's what's necessary for a sustained lifestyle?
I think that it's one of the cheapest things you can get from the gas station.
Gas station? Should we be doing our grocery shopping from the gas station? I think we've gotten some pretty bad advice if we're talking about meal prepping.
Well... You would know a thing or two about meal prepping.
Yes.
Yeah, they don't know anything, folks. The only place you could point to is Europe. And I don't know if you've checked Europe out anytime recently. It's collapsing. They are all dying out. They're literally going extinct. So find another example.
Fellow Americans, I'm back. The Nixon 28 collection is now available. And I must say, It looks tremendous. Go to the alicejonesstore.com and pick yours up today. You'll be glad you did. Ultimate Power Drink Mix. The fantasy is real, and it's delicious. Visit the alexjonesstore.com today.
All right, folks, I want to go to a video now from a creator. I believe his name is Warren Smith. He can be found on X at WTSmith17. He's also on YouTube. He's very good. And to be honest, if I didn't feel like I was stealing, I'd play this whole video because it's really good. The whole thing's about 7 minutes long, so I'll probably play half of it or so. I should have reached out and asked if I could just play the whole video. I feel bad because, you know, obviously I don't want to show you the whole thing and steal views from him. So I got to encourage you, go follow Warren Smith, WTSmith17. That's WTSmith17 on X. He posted this: I did my best to expose the stunning tactics of manipulation that Zoran Mamdani was caught using on camera. Many people will never even notice. I thought this was an absolutely brilliant breakdown of the deception and the sloganeering that forms the entirety of the socialist mindset, political ideology. It is literally meaningless slogans with no depth and no legitimacy even as a slogan. That's the craziest part. Here's Warren Smith breaking it down.
Once you see this, you will not be able to unsee it. This interview exposed the democratic socialists of America.
You know, there's been a lot of attention. One of the candidates you supported who won, who knocked off an incumbent Democrat, is Darlisa Villa-Chavalier. She said some very controversial things, including calling for the abolition of prisons, couldn't say whether or not somebody who had committed murder should be in prison, called for open borders, against all deportations, including those of violent criminals.
So murderers shouldn't be in prison, no borders at all. What could go wrong? You can't make it up. Surely that's not actually what these guys are calling for. Let's see how he responds.
Are those positions that the Democratic Party could win on nationally?
I think what the Democratic Party can win on nationally is a focus on working people.
Well, we're focusing on working people. That's all he says here.
She would talk about how we have to invest in babies, not bombs.
You know, invest in babies, not bombs. What does that mean? Everyone claims that their policies will benefit working people. That's not an argument. And this is the illusion.
But how does abolishing prisons or having open borders fit into that? I mean, do you see how those are ideas that a lot of your Democrats that are warning about what happened here say are toxic?
Even the guy interviewing him, a mainstream journalist, even he is shocked by what he's hearing. Surely you don't believe this stuff.
Most of America won't go along with it. They're bad ideas. They're dangerous ideas.
I think what the focus of her race was, what the focus of her candidacy was about the struggle that working people are facing.
And he just says working people again. That's all he can say.
So we can disagree on something as basic as whether or not there should be prisons?
That's not your
position.
There are prisons.
Yes.
And what we're also showing in this city is that safety is not something that's up for debate. It's something that we're actually delivering on.
In order to avoid contending with it, he claims it's not up for debate. We're just going to deliver on it. What are you delivering? Please just explain it simply to me. What is democratic socialism?
And for a lot of people who ask themselves, what does democratic socialism mean? And you can tell them the answer at a theoretical level. It's the choice to extend democracy from the ballot box the rest of their lives. But
what does that mean? Extending democracy from the ballot box to the rest of my life? That doesn't mean anything.
You got to have something you are not just willing to stand up for, but that you're also willing to explain how this is relevant to working people.
Good, good. Tell me. Explain it to me, please.
I'm not interested in writing a manifesto or, frankly, in reading one. I'm interested in delivering, and that's exactly what we've been showing.
But what are you delivering, though? Please, no, just write it out. What makes you a socialist specifically? Because I don't understand how we can have both.
But they're saying that if you're a socialist, you're not a Democrat. I mean, is there room in the party for both of these views?
Yes.
You can't just say yes. I mean, you got to expand on it a little bit.
Yes. So, you know, does it have to stand firmly for these ideas that you're talking about that others are calling dangerous?
I think it has to stand for working people.
We got the working people part. I got that. That's the third time you've mentioned it. Try someone else. Maybe we can get a better answer.
Because another co-founder that you guys have, Gustavo Gordillo, said that you guys are basically, you admitted that you're using the infrastructure the party has set up for ballot access. And that's what you're doing. Is that fair to say that that's what you're doing? You're not actually Democrats. You're using the process that's already in place to gain power.
Well, we would ask everybody, including voters of the Democratic Party, of what are Democrats?
All right. Sounds like postmodernism.
DSA is also on the record talking about the need to defund the police and freedom for all incarcerated people. Do you believe in anybody being incarcerated for any kind of crime?
Amazing.
Like, I can say what I feel personally. I think there for sure is violent crime or things that are really atrocious things that happen that, I mean, for sure in the near term or foreseeable
great.
Future.
Another beady-eyed foreigner here, incapable of answering a question. And this is the, you know, infinite problem with this is that an intelligent, informed, thoughtful populace this would never fly with because they have no answers. Their evasions would disqualify them. As Warren Smith points out, again, I got to tell you to go follow him, WT Smith 17 on X. Right? Was it 17 or 16? 17. WT Smith 17. Like any intelligent person, when they see a politician so blatantly skip around the question, not answer it whatsoever, invoke pointless, meaningless slogans, that should be disqualifying. It should be obvious immediately, okay, this person doesn't know what they're talking about. They need to give me more than just slogans. But you don't need to give stupid people more than just slogans. It sounds good. They vote for it. This is the strategy on full display of the Democrats. This is what they're pursuing from here on out. There is absolutely no sunlight between the Democrats and the socialists. They are one and the same, just like the communists and the socialists are one and the same. They all understand the game they're playing. They literally do. They understand, and they say it openly, and you just heard a version of it right there. If they were to actually elucidate and actually explain their positions and their policies and what the outcome they're looking for, if they were to actually have to explain it, nobody would vote for it. So they know all they need to do is say meaningless slogans, not answer any questions, not go to any depth, and low IQ people aren't going to understand. Like, you don't know what you don't know. I can tell what's going on, but other people, it's just like, oh yeah, working people. Yep. Good. I like working people too. It's like, don't you understand? He was just asked a very specific question about a very specific policy point that he apparently holds or doesn't hold, but he won't or can't say whether he believes in something or doesn't believe in something, wants to do something. Because if he were to answer honestly, if he were to say, yes, I agree, we should abolish prisons, nobody would vote for him because that's retarded. He knows that, so he's lying about it. This is a form of lying. It's a more effective form of lying. Lying would be him saying, no, that's too far. I would not go that far. That would be lying because he does believe that. Telling the truth would not let him get elected. So he chooses the sloganeering route. He chooses to simply invoke the term working class as if that means anything. And intelligent people would never fall for this. The people who are voting for Democrat socialists are either literally just very stupid because they hear stuff like this and think it looks good. And it really is, there really is like a, it's a feminizing thing. It's a childish thing, but you can see Zoran Mamdani knows what he's doing, because I'm trying to figure out how to say this delicately, but like liberal left women, especially, they are very much swayed on their position on anything if the guy is good looking or not. It's actually like the primary thing that, like, what's his name? Luigi, right? The murderer. Do you think if he looked like the guy who is accused of killing Charlie Kirk, do you think he'd have any fans? They know that. So, like, Zoro Mamdani is asked, like, so do you think there should be prisons? And he's like, you know, the voters voted for me, and we're delivering. And then he flashes a smile. And it's like, okay, are people really this stupid? Is this really all it takes? Are we seriously dealing with like a societal situation equivalent to just like the woman that keeps getting abused by all of her boyfriends? And they're just like, but he has such a nice smile. He would never. No, this one's different though. And it's like, when are you going to learn that bad people can smile too? Like that's really what it seems. Zoran Mamdani is a young dude. He's got a good smile. And he just goes, hey, they voted for us to do our job and we're delivering. And it's like, no, I asked you if you believe in prison abolition. He's like, I believe in delivering for the working class. And it's like, everything the socialist left accuses the right of being, they actually are. Like, you know, they think that, you know, people just like Trump because he like looks cool or something. Like, no, they literally like they care about if you look cool, and that's kind of all they care about. If you can like look cool and confident and have a good smile and say working class, they think you're a political genius. I'm serious. And if you murder a husband and father by shooting him in the back, but you happen to have swarthy good looks, then you're also a hero and a revolutionary that, you know, they'll throw themselves at your feet. They're very shallow people, the left. And the people taking advantage of that, they know it and they play on it, which is why you have things like the DSA holding tryouts where they happen to pick the very dumb but very pretty waitress, bartender lady, who is suddenly uplifted as the new star of the Democratic Party. It's like, but she's dumb as rock. She doesn't know anything. She admits she doesn't know anything, and she was selected through a tryout process like an actress. They don't care. They don't care. She looks cool. She's pretty. She's young. Therefore, they'll vote for her. That is as deep as their investigation goes into any of this. And for some reason, they love slogans. They just love them. Sloganeering has got to be the most underappreciated science in America right now. All they have are slogans. There's nothing backing it up, and the slogan itself doesn't even make any sense. It's cheaper to house people than have people unhoused. Is it? That's a slogan that is wrong, but they'll invoke it. Well, I just want to deliver for the working class. Okay, but you told them they can't turn their air conditionings on? Like, how is that? That doesn't, you have to actually have policies, but they don't. They don't actually have to have policies because they have the media on their side. The media uplifts them, acts as if they're intelligent or thoughtful in any way, and gives them the faux legitimacy they require to get elected. Meanwhile, we can go to clip number 6 here. Hassan Piker, just like AOC, just like Zoran Mamdani, I mean, they're all the same, right? You get that they're all the same. They're all literally immigrants or the children of immigrants. They are all dumb as rocks. They're all vaguely good-looking and almost white-passing. But they're all, once again, dumb as hell, have absolutely no intellectual depth whatsoever. are wrong about everything constantly, and are also just very despicably bad people in their heart. Like, everybody knows Hassan Piker uses a shock dollar on his poor dog and then lies about it because they lie about everything. Here's Hassan Piker dancing like an idiot. This is another thing I don't understand. Not to get off on a tangent, there were like multiple videos this week of what's her name? Ilhan Omar on a stage doing some weird Somali dance. And I keep seeing all these videos of like graduations where everybody's dancing. And it's just like one of my favorite stand-up comedians of all time has a bit where he talks about he doesn't watch TV, and he watched TV for the first time in like 5 years. And he's like, everybody's just dancing around. They're dancing around. Why is everybody always dancing around? Stop it. And it's just like, that's how I feel. What is this dance? This is like the lamest, weirdest dance I've ever seen. Guys, bring up the Ilhan Omar dance we got playing here. Like, what is it? The one where she's like walking across the stage and she's like swinging her arms. It's like, do people think this is cool? Do people actually are like, look, she's getting down. It's like, kinda. She looks like an old lady kind of shuffling around on the, you know, square dance floor a little bit. But like, what is this? You know, it's like when Kamala Harris would be dancing down the street. And I'm against it. I'm against dancing in, like, especially like formal settings. This type of, whatever this is, whatever this just like, we're just, yeah, well, look how cultured we are. Look at our incredible culture, you guys. You Americans don't have anything like this, do you? It's like, what, you're wiggling around? Oh, it's incredible. Oh, your cultural gifts. What would we do without you? Or Kamala Harris dancing. And it's supposed to be like it is like a cultural thing. It's like, there was a meme or a 4chan or whatever that went around for a while where it's basically just making fun of all the, you know, ethnic people in America who are like, think that their thing is super special, where they're like, oh, you know, in my culture, your grandmother will try to feed you a lot. It's like, yeah, that's every culture. Or it's like, oh, if you've ever fallen asleep on plastic chairs put together at a party because your parents are still partying, but you're a little kid, you know, every Hispanic person knows that feeling. And it's like, these are just the characteristics of the third world. Like, these aren't like some sort of special, super unique cultural marker that your people developed. It's just like you're just kind of doing the same dance that they were doing next to the Congo before European discovery. So it's like, why is this a thing now? That's what I really want to know. Just why has this become a thing? There's something that we're missing out on these days. It's called dignity. There's a distinct lack of dignity in our country these days. Like, when you're graduating from a prestigious university, the idea is that you have enough respect for the institution, you're going to behave in a, you know, respectful and decent way. But instead, it's let's wiggle around. Let's, you know, I can't just be somebody that walks across the stage with dignity, you know, and shake hands with the dean and, you know, revel in the accomplishment I've done. What I really want to do is twerk. What I really need to do is start twerking as soon as I get my diploma. Okay. Just because I, you know, got a degree doesn't mean I'm a different person, right? I don't know what they're trying to express, but I'm over it. I'm over the dancing. This is not impressive. There's nothing cool or dignified about this. And I don't get how they've tricked everybody into thinking that there is. That's the part that confuses me. Where it's like people post it and they're like, oh my God, I love Ilhan Omar getting down at the Somali thing. And it's like, why? She literally looks like an old lady at a wedding, you know, trying to boogie down with her grandson. It's not cool. There's nothing cool about this. There's nothing, you know, dignified or impressive about this. You look like children. You look like little children trying desperately to seem cool, and it's very pathetic. I just wonder, like, when did we lose that? When did we lose the correct perspective that just, like, I don't know, ballet, I'll respect that. Irish dancing, very compelling. I'm not against dancing. I'm not the mayor from Dirty Dancing or whatever. But there's a time and a place. There's a time and a place. But all this is to the side. But yes, we have another weird foreigner doing his awkward cultural dance that he thinks is cool for some reason. The really, the part about this to point to is the song. If we can bring up the mute, like, what is this? People are like, Hassan is like the coolest guy ever. And he's just like, he's a weird nerd cosplaying as me. He's a weird nerd cosplaying as me, but can't dance as well. Do you hear the song he's dancing to? The song he's dancing to is a, like an idiot, by the way. The song he's dancing to, like a 40-year-old white guy trying to fit in at the barbecue. Hassan Piker, middle-aged white man dancing to a song about the death of Charlie Kirk, a man who Hassan Piker knew personally, had spent time with, and had talked to in person. He is dancing like a middle-aged white guy to a song about Charlie Kirk dying, celebrating it. These people are evil. Don't be fooled. You may see them dancing and you may think these are just silly gooses. These are just a couple of silly foreigners doing their funny little wiggle dance. They are evil. They're evil. They are heartless. They're inhuman. They genuinely would not blink an eye to see your family crushed to death or lit on fire. People that they knew personally, that they had their phone numbers and interacted with on a personal level. He'd met their family, and he will dance and celebrate to a song about how you were shot in the neck and murdered on stage. These are evil people at every possible level. They're immoral scumbags through and through, on the personal level, on the political level. They are small-minded, greedy little parasites that must be rejected by our country as a whole, with prejudice and with no explanation. We don't need to listen to them tell us why our countries need to be different. We don't need to hear their debating us about why they deserve to be grafted in to our inheritance while they're trying to exclude us from that very same inheritance. We have to slam the door in their face, put them on a boat, send them back to where they came from. He's an anchor baby. Hassan Piker is a literal anchor baby. They came here while she was pregnant so we could have the baby here, so we could get American citizenship, immediately went back to Turkey. He's a rich boy nepo baby fraud, just like Mamdani, because they're all the same person. It's this class of first or second generation foreigners who keep dancing and trying to destroy our country. I'm sick of all of it. They all need to go home. My God, can we just not have to deal with this anymore? That's my wish.
There has been a major full court press agenda to undermine this country, to make Americans think that it's the American Republic and our Constitution that was the apple of the world's eye. Everybody wanted to come here to be part of this, that somehow it's why America is hated around the world. It's why we've lost our liberties and our freedoms. It's why you can work 80 hours a week and still can't pay your bills. No, it's the globalists. It's the private Federal Reserve. It's the whole UNWF kleptocrats that have been financing all of the radical anti-white, anti-America, anti-Christian, anti-capitalist garbage. And it's America that stands in the way of that. That's why with Cloward and Piven, they've been undermining it to destroy it. And so that's why with the 250th anniversary approaching in just a few days, it is so important to remember that they're trying to break your will. They're trying to demoralize you. But we're talking about the next leap in the information war with the truth against the liars. I'm here at AlexJonesLive.com headquarters. We've got our backup studio, new studios getting built. It's incredible. We're planning to go 20 hours a day live with even a late night show that's going to be incredible. But we need your support to do it, and you've been coming through with the support. That's why I want to give back to you on this 250th anniversary of our Constitutional Republic and celebrate it and know that its best days are to come if we take action, if we breathe life into it. And let Big Brother globalists know that they are in trouble. They've lost the faith of the public. Their own internal documents have leaked. They know they're in crisis. They know the Great Awakening's here. They thought their Great Reset and their COVID release would get us back in line, back in heel with their boot on our neck, but it didn't work. So running this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday through the 4th of July, we are offering the biggest sale in the history of the AlexJonesStore.com. Best-selling items. Buy one, get one free. Ultramethylene Blue, the very best. Bovine Colostrum, the very best. Shilajit, incredible. Boost Your Testosterone, all these natural peptides. These are private labels, the best brands in the country, discounted. And up to 60% off the other supplements and 50% off on apparel. Many of these are loss leaders, but I know those of you on the fence that haven't tried some of these products, once you try Ultramethylene Blue or Bovine Colostrum or our Methylene Red that's proprietary, you're going to be hooked. There's over a 90% order rate. And you know you're financing liberty and freedom, so you cannot lose. Also, 60% off Ultimate Chill, with all these known herbs for natural, clean, calm, but you also stay focused at the same time. Ultimate Energy, supercharged energy. Methylene Red capsules that goes methylene blue, like a horse and carriage. MK Ultra, Brain Booster. Ultimate Power Freedom Mango is even better than Turbo Force. Similar formula, even stronger, full of super nutrients. In Mango, Freedom Mango, and Patriot Punch. You want a cooking beef tallow? We've got the highest quality right now for you as well. Superfood Green Powder, Tallow Balm, Mind Fuel Nootropic Energy Shot, Etrogenic Mushroom Super Coffee. I forgot about that. It is simply amazing. It's all up to 60% off. Our Zeolites, 40% off. CMOS Gummies, Irish CMOS, 40% off. It goes on and on. So up to 60% off on the supplements. Buy one, get one free on all three of our top-selling supplements. 50% off on Patriot Apparel and more Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. July 3rd, July 4th, July 5th, flash sale, celebrating the birth and the continuation of this country past 250 years at thealexjonesstore.com, celebrating 250 years of America and 250 more. We are 1776. We're unstoppable together.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
All right, welcome back, folks. Dude, it's so funny. Like, who thinks this is cool? And you know he's not doing it ironically. You know he's not trying to look goofy. He thought he looked cool there. He's, like, trying to look cool. These people are all, they all think they look cool. We need to let them know what they really look like. No, you look like Uncle Jimmy who's had too many margaritas. It's just like... Again, you know, you see through it, and like these are, in their minds, these are the Soviets driving around the mobile execution vans, loading families in for eradication. Like, that's who these people actually are. It's worse. It's worse. I'd rather have the Nazis or the Soviets marching down my street and putting a boot on my neck than whatever this dancing, happy, but we're going to cut your throat kind of attitude is. It's like, why are people falling for this? Let's go to clip two here. This is another longer video. I'm not going to be able to play the whole thing, but I'll see if I can get to like half of it. This is a Indian man who does a great job explaining what I'm constantly trying to describe, which is the utter and complete lack of civic responsibility in immigrant populations or in homegrown populations in some cases. But this is an interesting video because it's great. It's not me being frustrated at people who can't think of second order effects. It's a very patient explanation to those people by one of their own. Let's watch.
No, I let's do something else today. Dude, like, we've been doing financial videos for 2 years now. And what's the point? The point is not to get financial freedom to buy things. It's to have peace of mind and be happy. But how can you be happy when you're driving, suddenly someone cuts you off and insurance premiums rises, tumhara, mera, because he's a rash driver. And then I was taking a turn, someone actually threw garbage and our taxpaying money will be used to actually pick it up. So today I'm going to talk about something that we have not. How civic sense actually affects us in more ways than you think. Our happiness and also how it's affected financially. Let's do this. Roll. What's civic sense? It's an unsaid rule where you learn by looking at other people on how to behave in public, how to care for the environment, the community, people around you, being polite. But unfortunately, we Indians lack civic sense. We did a fun experiment. You see, this area over here near the office is quite dirty. So we got it completely cleaned. Chaka chon, very beautiful, spick and span. And this other side of the road was actually quite dirty as well. What we did was we sort of added a little bit of litter. And then we observed for a few days on what actually happened. And the result will actually shock you. But you know, a lot of my friends living abroad say ki Indians don't have civic sense because of education. Now, near our office, everyone's obviously educated. That's why there are offices, right? And this place is dirty. So clearly it's not education. It's something else. So I found three interesting things of why this is happening and how it's affecting us economically and, well, just our happiness. The first one is tragedy of the commons. This is when you see someone throwing out garbage to keep his car clean or the house clean at the expense of the society. When humans exploit shared resources for their own benefit and basically everyone else can't use that resource, that is tragedy of the commons. And what's more shocking is that recently there was a yoga day organized in Vizag, a community event where you can come, learn yoga, perform yoga, good for your health, great for the community. But everyone did this. They ran and started stealing the yoga mats, literally snatching it from each other. But you know what's even more sad? The yoga mats were actually free anyway. So all you had to do was queue up and everything was there for you anyway. And that's the sad part. You see, when the community is incentivized to break the rule, as in when someone breaks the queue, he gets the benefit, someone steals the mat, he gets the mat, and nothing happens, that's when tragedy of the common becomes worse because everyone is incentivized to break the rule. And then we have road accidents.
Well, hold on. Let's pause right there real quick because I love that, you know, obviously describing the tragedy of the commons. It's so obvious, and it's like the thing I want to draw a line between is this mindset, the grab all the yoga mats you can to try to kill each other over it, with just socialism in general. There's a distinct greediness, selfishness that compels both of these ideas, that to offset everything to the collective. Right? Who cares if I, you know, throw trash on the ground? It's society's fault for all this trash being on the ground. I'm poor because society made me poor. There's a through line here that I don't know if I can quite describe perfectly, but it's evident. There's a lack of consideration of second order effects of you have something I don't, therefore you have hurt me somehow, and I'm going to go take your thing. And it's like, there's plenty for everybody if everybody behaves. But when you don't behave, when you take advantage, it makes everybody else either have to take advantage or suffer from it. He explains this more thoroughly as we continue. Let's keep watching.
witnessed 4.6 lakh road incidents. That's almost 500,000. And that took 1.7 lakh lives. The thing is, out of this 1.7 lakh deaths, 1.2 happened due to overspeeding. This means that these deaths could have easily been avoided. I'll tell you one more thing. We were in Italy recently, and I'm absolutely not comparing our country with another country, but when we were there and I saw 60 kilometers and it was an open highway, I could have easily touched 120. But because I was outside and everyone was following the rule, I stayed at 55. And can you imagine, this side was completely free. Nobody overtook me because it was not considered good civic sense over there. And then we have the best of all, theft. And let's take an example of, say, the railways. We love taking trips in trains, right? There was actually a lot of theft in trains, as you can imagine. I'm talking about bulbs, pillows, cloth, linen, the mugs. Anything basically you can pick up was stolen. And this was 260 crore rupees in 2022. And how does this affect us? Well, one, it contributes to the losses of the Indian Railways, which means fares will go up. All of these costs will be passed on to you, the taxpayer. You will have to pay a higher fare because someone stole something. But you know, the tragedy of the commons is only one aspect of civic sense. Another aspect is actually the broken window problem. So let me give you an example. Imagine you go into Delhi Metro, and we sent part of our crew. We said, just record the place and see if someone is eating or has any kachra in their hand, and just try to record them. You'll notice they don't throw or litter across the Delhi Metro, and it's actually really, really clean and well organized. But the same person, once he goes down, exits the Delhi Metro, walks on the street, throws it on the street. Another example is a normal railway. You enter a bogie, you'll see someone eating peanuts, and then they eat the peanut and take the chilka and throw it right there. And they do this because everyone else is doing it. No one stops them. They don't stop anyone. And they say, "Koi aur aake saaf kar dega." It's their job. And this is called the broken window theory. Basically, if there's a broken window, people find it okay if another one breaks. But if something is pristine and beautiful, people want to maintain it. And this is not just about our country getting dirty and we're complaining about it. It also affects our health. 40% of all plastic is thrown on Indian streets. This blocks drains and floods in our streets during monsoons. It becomes a breeding ground for diseases. It harms street animals because they're the ones who eat the trash. And it pollutes the soil, water, and enters our food chain because that waste just hardly gets cleaned. Now, I know you'll think that when something is dirty in a public place, the government is supposed to clean it. But we can't blame the government for our lack of civic sense, right? I mean, look at this example here. Street food falls on the street and they go pick it up and throw it in the dustbin. And the place is clean again. If this happened and you're eating, will you actually bend down, pick up that wet waste food and throw it in the dustbin? Another tragedy is tourism. The largest concern of travelers trying to come to India as tourists is, I'll get sick. And you'll also...
This goes on for a while. Again, I think it's a great video. 01 is the name of the YouTube channel. So you spell out zero and then the letter one, Z-E-R-O, one. I think you did a great job. But I almost feel, you know, our audience doesn't need to hear this, but people do. But people out there need to be told this. I'm not necessarily interested in teaching people this here in America. But a couple things to understand. One, there's the continuity of mindset between this and socialism, because everything you described right there, it's easy to justify because you offset the consequences of your action onto the wider society. Like that, it's very simple, but it's like, I don't suffer from throwing trash on the ground, so why would I care? It's selfishness at the end of the day, a refusal to take responsibility for the world around you. But also, I feel for him. Like, I feel for people like him in India that can see what's going on, that don't participate. But what is he supposed to do? Like, how do you get India on track? If there's this Indian guy trying to explain and recognizing and admitting, and you can just see from the state of India, like, there's very little, if any, sense of civic responsibility. In fact, and later in the video, he goes on to describe the way in which the what's their system of whatever it's called. For some reason, I'm blanking on the name right now. But they've got the untouchables and the why can I not think of the word? Why can the crew not think of the word either? The different levels of people in India. Some are more important, some are less. Caste system. Thank you. Yes, the caste system. Hey, it's the last hour on a Friday. Give me a break. The Indian caste system, basically the untouchables are the ones that clean everything. And so there's this idea that it's undignified to clean anything, which I also don't really understand. How can it be more dignified to live in trash than clean? That's crazy, but that's how they are. So there's the caste system on top of it that, you know, causes problems. So how would you undo this in India? Like, how would you teach a billion people civic responsibility? I don't know how you do that. You know, he's pointing out that you've got to, you know, the broken window problem where things are pristine. They tend to stay that way. Once one thing breaks down, everything starts to break down. That's a very common phenomenon across the world in communities and families and everything. So how do you fix it in India? Like, how would you do that? How would you, first of all, even be able to clean up all of the pollution in India? It's like not even possible. But if you could, you know, if you could put in all the effort and all the, like, it's prohibitively expensive at this point to try to clean everything. But like, how could you convince everybody in India to totally change the way that they behave and the way that they interact with everything in their culture? It's in a lot of ways, they got a big challenge ahead of them, and maybe they can do it with real concerted nationwide education programs or severe punishment. I don't know what. What I know is that once this type of culture gets ingrained in a population, it doesn't go anywhere. And it is the tragedy of the commons. It is the feedback loop that gets entered into, as he explained to some degree, but is readily apparent anywhere that you look, where if somebody cuts in line and they benefit from that, other people are going to want to cut in line and not lose out on that quote unquote benefit. And so once again, we see that. And there's a strange kind of irony here that's hard to explain, but liberty requires, ironically, like ruthless policing. I think you'll see what I mean. And by the way, this phenomenon is very powerful with people who, again, are decent and respectful and care about the people around them. So like, when I was in Japan, when you're on the subway, everybody is sitting so quietly and so politely, you're incentivized just by nature of the environment not to make noise, because you would stand out like a sore thumb. It's not just like, oh, there's tons of noise everywhere and I'm a little bit louder than everybody else. But no. If there's no noise, nobody's pulling out a speakerphone going, hey, how's it going? Yeah, I'm just hanging out here. Because like everybody in the subway car would turn and look at you like you wouldn't do it. So there's a social pressure to it. This is sort of a variation or an offshoot of the broken window phenomenon. Or like he's talking about in Italy, nobody's driving above the speed limit. But if somebody did drive above the speed limit and they didn't get pulled over and they got there faster, if people that ran red lights never got tickets, then everybody would run red lights and it would just be chaos across the board. Or it would be, you know, like in Italy, you'd have everybody driving 120 miles an hour. It would get dangerous. You'd have to go within and intervene. So liberty is only possible with a, you know, self-enforced behavior. Liberty requires responsibility. You have to be worthy of the liberty. You have to live up to the liberty. You also have to ruthlessly protect that liberty against anybody that abuses it. Right. So. And, you know, maybe speeding is a good example of this. Like, you need everybody to sort of on their own volition go a responsible speed limit, even though they have the ability to go much, much faster. Like, the only other option would be you have a limiter on your car that doesn't allow you to go that much faster. Thing is, life is unpredictable. There are extraordinary circumstances. Maybe I need to drive extra fast because it's an emergency. And while the laws are there for everyday business as usual, okay, there are times where they need to be overridden for the sake of humanity. And that's okay. We can do that. And somebody can, you know, drive super fast because there's no hard limitation on what we're able to do. We are given liberty because typically and in a normal circumstance, we don't take advantage of that. But if nobody can be trusted to just do what's right for the benefit of everybody else, then you have to have a tyranny or you have to let your country collapse into chaos. So if this is a intrinsic, troublesome part of the Indian character, because it's in evidence in India everywhere you go and everywhere Indians go outside of India also seems to take on these attributes, then I would say we have to defend against that with extreme prejudice and a total lack of flexibility. Because once you start the feedback loop, if you bring in a bunch of people who have no civic sense, no sense of civic responsibility, no feeling that they are responsible for behaving themselves so the authorities don't have to come in and correct them, if you bring those people in to a sizable degree and they start taking advantage of the liberalities of our system, those liberalities have to go away and we lose the system that we have and we become India. And as we established a minute ago, once you're India, it's hard to not be India anymore. Once you live in a country that is fully collapsed into everybody taking advantage of everybody else, everybody stealing everything that's not locked down, everybody throwing their trash out the window, it's really hard to undo that situation. Lucky for us, we're not in that situation, and we can stop ever getting to that situation by stopping the people and the mindset that bring that situation about from coming here to any sizable numbers and maintaining their cultural stupidity. There's another video I should bring in. Maybe I'll bring it in next week. I haven't seen it in years, but it was a TED talk by an Indian guy talking about how every Indian population all over the world always brings along with it pollution and disrespect for the environment, which is another funny thing where it's, you know, people have this idea of like India being this sort of having this like naturalistic Hindu Buddhist mentality, but it's like, but there's no real like wildlife. Like they don't have national parks there. They do occasionally have chunks of forest with man-eating lions in them that like will eat a couple dozen Indian people every once in a while, but there's not like this symbiotic natural relationship that is often presented as being a inversion of Western ideas. Like there's this idea that Western is, this isn't the one. You may be trying to pull up the TED talk. The TED talk I'm talking about, because he's insulting Indians, he's an Indian guy. And I think he's giving a talk possibly in India, but he's wearing a mask. He's wearing a full face mask, so he's not recognizable, because if Indians found out he was insulting India, they would kill him. Just like in that last video when he's like, I was in Italy and everybody behaved, but I'm not comparing the two countries, but I would never compare our two countries. He's saying that because Indians have this like way overdeveloped sense of pride where they will literally kill you for insulting him. Yeah, here's the guy talking about the filth of India and how it seems to be a core component of their character that they are for some reason proud of. And when, yeah, he's in Bangor and he has to wear a mask because he thinks that the Indians will kill him for telling the truth about them. So let's just not let them over here. So here's an idea. Everything we're exploring right now are the horrible characteristics of a population that is desperately trying to take over the world. So like, let's stop them from taking over the world because clearly they can't even handle their own country. Is that a mean thing to say? I don't think it is. I think we have a very important and necessary role to play in upholding civic virtue, because the minute it's gone, it's really, really, really hard to get back. Really hard to get back. And of course, as it goes away, it is replaced with authoritarianism. It's the only other option. If you don't want to live in a world of criminal warlords and even then, that's just a different form of authoritarianism. But once you have a system where you let in a critical mass of people who will take advantage of vulnerabilities, who will behave dishonestly or selfishly if they're not compelled otherwise, then you have to compel them otherwise. And in a way, you have to do that anyway, because, like I said, if one person cuts the line and is not punished for it, you're only making a situation where everybody's got to cut the line and there's no point in having a line and everything can just be destroyed. So liberty requires ruthless policing of those liberties. So yes, you can drive quickly if you choose, because occasionally you need to make that choice, and we can't write laws that encapsulate every single possible situation in the future. But if you don't exercise that with responsibility, then it goes away. This is kindergarten stuff. This is preschool level stuff. Everybody should have been taught this by the time they were out of elementary school at the latest. Really, I don't even understand how people need to be taught this when it's so obvious if you think about it for 2 seconds. This is what we mean by second order effects. That the first order effect is, if I take that thing, I get that thing. I want that thing, I'll take that thing. That's just your first order effect. You took it, you have it. That's as far as your thinking goes. If you can go one step beyond that and go, but if I take that thing, then somebody else won't be able to have that thing. Or if I take that thing, if everybody acted like that, then there wouldn't be anything to take. So if I want there to be things, I need to not take it. It's not that complicated. It's not something I would think need to be taught to anybody. But if it does need to be taught to people, you're already out of luck. It's already too late. I don't know if these things can be taught. Not without a total reorganization of the entire society where you're enforcing this message from an early age. But that's a very difficult thing to do. So let's just never get to that point by ruthlessly policing our lovely and liberal system that now exists only because people like this aren't here to take advantage of it and stupidly and selfishly take it unto themselves. Let's avoid the tragedy of the commons by not opening it up to people that don't understand the tragedy of the commons. That's my idea. That's my plan. Folks, if you want to do the most patriotic thing you could possibly do today or tomorrow, go to thealexjonesstore.com. Get yourself one of these silver rounds, collector's items. You're not going to want to miss out on this limited edition coin.
Have you noticed all the big universities and corporate media and governments around the world run down America all day? That's because the American system stands against their globalist system. And as the public figures that out, their corrupt, tyrannical, oppressive, communistic, anti-human death cult can't compete with what America stands for. And we stand in the shoes, on the shoulders of our forebears. Whether you're black, white, Hispanic, old, young, if you love liberty and freedom, and if you want to be free, and if you want to control your own destiny, you believe in meritocracy, then America is for you. It's under attack because the idea of it stands in the way of the enemy. And America is a dream. Just like a dream to get married, or a dream to start a business, or a dream to write a poem or write a song. And when you do that, those dreams come true. But we have to breathe life into those dreams. They want to kill those dreams. Don't let them break your will. Be proud to be an American. And know people around the world still love America and understand it's the globalists that have hijacked us. And we're in the process of taking our country back from the Chi-Coms and the Israel lobby and the globalists and Hollywood and the left and all of them. And that's why it's so important to support the next leg in the info war at alexjoneslive.com. And, of course, at thealexjonesstore.com. With the widest selection of Patriot apparel, the best supplements, collectible knives, the best water filtration, and more that will empower and enrich your life while keeping this beacon of truth on the air as we accelerate into the future and as the Great Awakening prepares the final defeats of the globalists and their Great Reset. I salute you all. This is 1776 2.0. We're unstoppable together. God bless you all.
You do not help fund the resistance. You sit comfortably. You consume. You watch. You wait for others to fight the battle for you. The dark side has you firmly in its grasp. Every day, you remain on the sidelines. My power grows stronger. Continue believing. Someone else will save the galaxy. days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.